All right, after those munchies, let's go to the Cannabis Museum. The Cannabis Museum is an Ohio 501c3 education research nonprofit organization dedicated to revealing the history of mainstream cannabis use in the United States and around the world. It collects, preserves, and shares the history of cannabis use, culture, prohibition, and politics.
Entering into Sector 12, the denominator, Phase 12, Archives 2, Season 5. Does that make sense, or should we start with a new season and the new archive? Whoa. Yeah. Honestly, I'm not quite sure. But I think it'd be cool if it had a lot of different things, like which sector, which archive, season, episode, and then even within the episodes, there are quadrants, and, you know, it's honestly, we're going to figure it out. What do you elves think about that? We're going to, you know, let us know what you think. Wake the farm up. We're just going to keep, you know, laying it out, having fun with it. Why not? Numbers are incredibly fun to play with.
Yeah, this is a very special episode, season 4, episode 20, so we're bringing to you Wake the Farm Up, Maintaining Ground podcast, going to a weed farm. Yeah, check it out, they're growing CBD. We're going down to the Heartbeat Homestead, checking it out, you know, we're going to be checking up and catching up with them, Maintaining Ground, yo. Hey, and we also going to go check out the Cannabis Museum, you know, just right outside of Athens, Ohio. Go check it out. Check the show footnotes. Subscribe to the show. Enjoy the show. Catch up with you soon, yo. Wake the farm up.
My mind is a passion. You look in your eyes, what else would I want to imagine? My fire is through. And we drive.
These recordings were made on February 29th, 2024, Leap Day, the day out of time. It was a special little slice. I hope you enjoy it. There's lots of little things to take notes on, and you might not remember, so go ahead and write them down. You know, there's some good footnotes. So you can look some things up later. You know, it's a good time, you know, connect. We want to hear what you got to say. Wake the farm up.
Hey. Live on the farm out here at Heartbeat Homestead. Heart like the heart, beat like the vegetable. And one service we provide is we provide implements and tools and amendments for growing all organic natural fertilizers and soil amendments and soil. And we're lucky enough to live in a big agricultural community, so we provide that service not only to home growers but to local farms And we've got the Blaney Family Farm coming in today to pick up some seed catapult. It's an Ohio Earth Food product that we offer. It's got all the right stuff to make your little seeds jump like they was up in the catapult. And so we're lucky enough to have this situation here. So this product that our local farmer is coming to pick up today is called Seed Catapult. It's produced in Ohio by Ohio Earth Foods.
Okay.
And we are a local dealer, and we like to keep things going to keep people growing. And this is an amazing product. It's formulated to provide your little seeds with all they need, and that's why it's Seed Catapult.
Bang, dude, trebuchet.
It's got wonderful things in it, like organic nutrients, which is for Vita Compost. It's got rock minerals, fish meal, and crab meal that help to create an environment that keeps your little seeds safe and free of disease along their way while they're starting to grow. So that's why the Seed Catapult was formulated, to add that little bit of oomph, keep your seeds from not doing what they want to do.
Bringing that nutrient up from the ocean, the crab meal, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Like crab cakes.
Yes, because it's
making
not...
Making little crab cakes through the garden.
And this is their Plant Pro potting soil. It's for the longevity of a plant to be. This thing has all it needs in it to feed a plant for 8 weeks. So most of your crops are going to get into that 8 week period where that's about all they need. So you can just dump that in a pot, throw the plant you got in it, and add water. And it's going to do what it needs to do. If you're a little bit of a wizard with growing plants and you like to add a little more, we do have liquid fish and liquid seaweed and a host of other things that if you want to add a little oomph to your soil for your own personal delights.
We got some Vita Pro.
This is
545 Revita.
This is the Revita.
Revitalize Earth Food.
Revitalize with the Earth Food.
Pro.
This
is Pro.
This product is the Pro version. This has all your plants' needs all wrapped up into one organic package.
And that's kind of like something that you can use, kind of like a classic, industrial farmer, kind of like where you sprinkle it out onto the soil, or how do you work with it, like in the gardens, you work it into the soil when you're doing your plantings, or?
Yes, sir, that's correct. When you're doing your plantings, you work this in, you get your soil ready, and then right before you're finally done doing your little rake or your till or your hoe, you throw that in there and mix it in your soil.
Yeah, talk about a wheel hoe.
This is a Revita Compost Plus. This is a 3-4-3. It's got a little less than the Revita Pro has in it, but it's got the same about all you need. It comes with humic acids. It comes with composted chicken manure from Ohio chickens. It's got kelp in it. It's got
seaweed.
It's got the goods, and it's a little cheaper. If you got an established garden, or you like adding your own seaweed, you add your own compost, you add your own comfrey tea, if you're into JDAM stuff, where you're brewing and making your own fertilizers for your oomph, this is a big oomph. Around here, we got a lot of minerals in our clay. In Western Ohio, you got a lot of calcified soil, so you might get away with using something that's a little less cost, but still a superior product to what you might think of as fertilizers. And we also offer whole lines of their products, and we also offer one of our primary focus is high grade CBD flower. We've also done some CBG, and we've also tried to do some breeding, and we try to keep a lot on stock. And so it doesn't really matter what you think you might need. I imagine we probably have enough, and we keep it in climate-controlled storage.
These are all the CBDs up in here. Look at these. These are that's some scoops. And so people can access these through some different stores currently in Ohio.
Yep.
They can access these through the Heartbeat Homestead.
Yep, heartbeathomestead.com.
And you guys offer them as flower, like chunks that are like, you know, the classic flower. And then you offer them as the pre-roll.
And we also have a CBD tincture. And hopefully, you know, more products coming in the future. And more crops coming in the future, so.
Yeah, this is like where it goes, like when it's getting ready for processing into what you find in the stores. And this is an abundance. Wow, you guys are farming.
Yes, sir. We got it at the Kindred Market in Athens, Ohio. We have it in Clintonville, Ohio. Clintonville Whole Foods, or not Whole Foods, but Clintonville Foods. And we have it in Palmroy, Ohio at the Appalachian Gypsy and the Smoky River Candle Shop. Occasionally we have it in Columbus at Hetty's Hideout, and we always have it available to ship out to you through the United States Postal Service from heartbeathomestead.com. And we're into making new products. If people got an idea, you want something white labeled for you, maybe you drop us a line and we can make something that you want with your name on it.
Wait, Mama. Yeah, you know you want some garlic. Yeah, so the heartbeat. We're getting into the heartbeat here. We're just crossing it through. There's like little garden plots for days because, you know, this is a permaculture zone. You know, there's diversity of crops, things going on. There's like, you know, some little carrots. You know, there's some different things coming up. You can see like, you know, different mulch systems. Got some netting set up, you know, where, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, there's like some cool, we'll come and pop back in here, you know, in the summertime or something, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, see what all, you know, we'll be able to connect in so you can see what, what's up with all these blocks though, again? You tell us about that.
We've got a free house trailer that some family members gave us. And so, you know, on a farm, you can never have enough space under roof, and the roofs can never be cheap enough. And in the permaculture sense of keeping things fluid, these house trailers are really great spaces for folks who need a little extra space to process, and you might not want it to be there all the time. You might want to make it move. You might want to put it somewhere else. So, you know, you can level these things up, use them for a while, and move them on. Maybe that thing will be a chicken coop one day.
And, you know what I'm saying?
So, you know, the Joel Salaston chicken tractor will be like chicken motel on wheels. So
yeah, that's some funk, you know, making something out of what's there, you know, making something out of nothing, you know, nothing is what it is. That's what it is in that phrase, you know, making something out of nothing. And it's like when there's nothing around, and you know, one of those is like parked in here, like that's a space, might as well level it up, you know?
Yep, keep it on the level.
Check out some of these plants, yeah. All right, so now we're looking at plants. What's up, little plant? So yeah, we got these amazing plants that show up in our gardens. You know, don't take them for granted. There's like, I don't know, I like calling it a winter cress. People call it bitter cress. It's got different names, but it's a wonderful cress. You see it like with this little white flower blooming there. And there's some purple dead nettle. These things are going to be celebrated in the future because these foods are here. They're growing for us on the earth. And they're for, you know, for people to use and eat and consume and be nutrified.
And then they're 2,000 foot rows, you know, flipping the soil smooth, little 4 inches thick, you know, not like today where they subplow down to 2 feet, you know, and it's, we got a lot of historical things going on here that we find while we're gardening.
Look at all these little sea biscuits.
Not discovered all of what's under the ground back in that garden. Well, I was throwing T-post in for tomato trellising one year and kept hitting me stones all in a row. And I'm like, ooh, maybe I have like a big cut stone floor from an old barn or something, you know, an old dairy barn that they put a stone floor in. And I discovered these little hand-carved stones about half the size of a regular square loaf or rectangle loaf of bread. And they had built a stone drain tile system under the ground where they had two little rows of stones on each side so the water would go down into that little stone channel and then go out of the field to get the surface water off.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, this is from the early 1800s. And I'm like, oh, people have been down here, and then we find artifacts. I found a channel coal spear point.
Check out this hillside. When it opened, it's enormous. Look at all the mosses up in there.
And it's like I've got like this whole hillside just covered in ginseng. We've got our golden seal plantings, you know, been at it for 20 years, you know. We've got roots that are a couple decades old that we've planted.
Let's go check out the elf bus.
Yeah, let's do it.
Talk about the days. The heartbeat.
That's all I asked for Christmas for 2 years.
Jars.
Jars. People are like, what do you want for Christmas? Gallon jars? Half gallon jars? Fancy little square jelly jars?
Poke root. Tell us about poke root a little bit.
Poke root's a plant that's traveled around with people. It's one of those journeying plants. And it gets, you know, it gets a bad rap now. You know, they say it's like, oh, there's toxicity to it, and there's little bits of alkaloids and stuff, but the folks that pioneered here, they would eat it. They'd eat the shoots like we do, like we eat asparagus, and it gets a beautiful giant top full of purple berries and plumage, and the birds love it. It loves to spread, but it's big medicine where it's from, and all things are, but it's a magic plant, you know. It's along the lines of like ginseng or datura or cannabis, or, you know, it holds a lot of history. And so naturally, you know, there's going to be some powers out there that say it's not to be used. It's not to be used, like sassafras, you know. It's not to be used. Well, people have used it for thousands of years. How come it's not a usable thing now? Well, it's probably because it's really good for you in some way. So it's one of those plants to investigate and let it catch your eye and dig into and see what it does for you.
Bow, bow, bow. You can never tell. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, 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 bow. Just gotta poke around.
Cabbage in those weeds.
Old school. It goes to
Dr. Bionic.
Turn to that at 10:45.
Wake the farm up.
Wake him up. Wake it up now.
Bus came by.
I got on.
The rooster crowed three times, and I knew it was time for the dream to be over. And you know what happens when the dream is over? You wake up. And when you wake up and you're on the bus, you know what you're living. You know you're living. But
Oh shit!
I think we're there.
Who like that?
Look at them boys, cock-a-doodle doing. Thugs in harmony. I said, I'm talking. Listen when I'm talking now, son. I'm gonna strut my thing. I'm gonna fluff my feathers. Make sure you're listening when I sing. You know, till kingdom come, till Donkey Kong's.
Millie. Alright.
Do you know which Hazel this is? Which Hazel this is?
Sea biscuits.
Yeah.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Wake the farm up!
Yeah, it's got the vocals too, but they don't have to stay in, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Little view of the Ohio Outback, you know, as we like to call it sometimes. I like to say it's far out. It's far out there in Meigs County.
Yeah. I love the gravel road.
You know, it's still one of those places where you think you're on one lane until you see the sign that says one lane ahead. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess that was like four lane.
Yeah, that was the super, super highway. High speed rail.
Oh, look at that. Golden. Into the valley we go. Look at how the trees they grow. Look at how the ripples in the roads we'll know from the water as it flows. Look at what the towers bring. You get to hear an elf can sing. Da 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 da. This might be the last thing that you wanna have on your phone. Maybe you'll wanna go home to a garden down some gravel road.
Wait, am I allowed in here? It says no dogs.
You let the dogs out?
Elf dogs are okay.
Since 1989, right? Taco John's held the trademark on Taco Tuesdays. But now, it's been free to use because, check this out.
It's rolling.
It is? Okay. All I know is that there's a lawsuit that Taco Bell is trying to sue us because we use Taco Tuesday as our slogan. And apparently, it's just like a nationwide thing that everybody does. But we like turn the... It's our slogan, so I mean, I guess...
It's been around a long time.
It is, yeah, but I guess we trademarked it, so... You know, they're just trying to sue us so that they can get some profit off of it, I guess. You know. I don't know, it's weird.
But hey, that's good, you know, we're all about, you know, wake the farm up, you know. Here's, like, this, like, cool little hometown taco shop that came up with a fun little phrase, and the town celebrated it, and it's a town that... is a college town around here, so a lot of people coming in and out from all over the country and the world. and rolling through here on Tuesdays.
Tuesday.
We've been doing it for a long time.
We are busy. In the summer, every Tuesday, we get 80 tacos and like 6 large aways for the college football team.
Wow, okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Taco Talk, Taco Talk. Check it out. Wake the farm up.
Taco John said, "They are lovers, not fighters. They pride themselves in being home of Taco Tuesday, and paying millions of dollars to lawyers to defend that mark just doesn't feel a right thing to do." All right, after those munchies, let's go to the Cannabis Museum. The Cannabis Museum is an Ohio 501c education research nonprofit organization dedicated to revealing the history of mainstream cannabis use in the United States and around the world. It collects, preserves, and shares the history of cannabis use, culture, prohibition, and politics.
Andy's remark was, so if they come out here, where would they stay?
Yeah.
Is there somewhere near Athens that maybe, you know, is a little more comfortable for people? And now we can check into the Cannabis Museum.
Yeah, exactly. About the, we're going to have an Airbnb from the Cannabis Museum. We're going to have an exhibit inside the Airbnb about the history of hemp. It's basically going to probably be the exhibit that we're taking down from in here, and we're getting ready to put a new exhibit up in here. And so, additionally, I am going to be making a tour, like a driving tour of all the hemp history sites in the area, places where they were growing hemp, places where there was roadblocks, places where they were doing shipbuilding, because that's what the history of hemp is, that shipbuilding and boat building, because they needed it for the ropes and they needed it for the oakum that fills the gaps in between the boards.
Oh.
And that's what helps. It's hemp dipped in tar that makes it watertight.
I didn't know that
it was
originally
hemp. And so there's a lot of shipbuilding
hemp
going on along the rivers around here, along the Ohio River. There's also hemp history in Blennerhassett Island. They were growing hemp all around that area in Parkersburg and Belleville, which is just below Belpre there.
Yeah, yeah, and I'd heard the original original mansion had caught down and had caught on fire and burnt down, and they said it was because they had so much hemp they had stored it in the basement.
That's what I have heard, different stories.
And I thought that's auspicious.
Yeah, they had, you know, it started composting and just caught on fire, and it was basically, I've heard that they were storing it there. They were growing it alongside the river and storing it there so that it could be shipped on downstream wherever it had to go, downriver where it had to go. Yeah, wow. So that's an interesting hemp history story there.
Yeah.
And so I'll add that into my, you know, that'll be one of the stops along my tour. I've also been to the museum, the Blennerhassett Museum, and they have a hemp hackle, which I'll show you in the other room, the hemp hackles where they're combing the hemp. And I'm gonna have it be like a scavenger hunt, and you go to each different, I'll tell you, you can go to the Blennerhassett Museum, but you have to find a piece of hemp history that's there.
Oh, fun.
I think I'll have like little plaques in each museum. So I'm reaching out to all the different museums around the area. I know another museum that has a Conestoga wagon, and the canvas for the Conestoga wagon top was made out of traditionally cannabis, because cannabis, same thing. But now it's just a canvas, you know?
Yeah.
It's not hemp anymore.
Yeah,
they had to replace it. But I'm still going to put that on my tour, because I think it's really interesting that to look at it and think, oh, well, that was what the whole town of Conestoga, that's what they did there, was make those wagons and make those hemp. They grew hemp and they built wagons so that people could go west.
It's something I just learned was that
Okay. Hi, I'm Kristen Robinson. I am the executive director of the Cannabis Museum.
Hi, my name is Isaac Koblenz. I am the fiber artist in residence and the registrar in charge of intake into the collection. here at the Cannabis Museum.
So this exhibit, I'm going to start the exhibit down here. So on this is the history of hemp. I like to call it. Oh, sorry, I got.
Cut.
Thank you.
So this is the history of hemp. The story of hemp from seed to sale. This is a picture of hemp growing in Russia in 1910. This is a big hemp field, and this is just how it grows. The plants grow really close together, tall and straight, single stalks, so that you can get long fiber. So hemp started out in eastern China. The oldest hemp is about 12,000 years old. Cannabis sativa is the hemp plant. Cannabis indica originates in more central Asia. And in this map, you can see all of the Silk Road trade routes. And so that's kind of the way that this plant was being passed along from community to community and spread around the whole world. It goes from China all the way up into Europe. And cannabis indica stays in this area. And the hemp is what's being spread around, and the cannabis indica is staying local. Until the British came in and started learning about the folk medicine in India. The hemp plant. It's all the different parts. So we get the seeds, the male and female flower parts. We've got some hemp grown hemp down there. Long, tall stalks, sparse buds full of seeds. Seedy little nodules, yeah. Isaac?
Yeah.
Isaac, tell us about this little pamphlet on the recording here.
The Cannabis Americana pamphlet belonged to my great-grandfather, Frank Koblenz. And Frank was a pharmacist in the 1880s in Springfield, Ohio. And his father, Isaac Koblenz, who I'm named after, Isaac and his brother started a patent medicine called Hindu Pain Conqueror. And it was an opium-based kind of alcohol with lots of other herbs, kind of like, oh, it's not really like Jägermeister, but it had a lot of other herbs, but mostly opium.
Snake oil.
And so, yeah, that was one of the things that my great-grandfather sold in his pharmacy. But Cannabis Americana was, this pamphlet was passed down in the family, and here now we have it on display at the museum. But Cannabis Americana is a strain of cannabis that Park Davis and Eli Lilly developed in the 1880s to try to create a more streamlined, reliable product. Because before that, companies, pharmacists had a hard time finding a consistent supply of cannabis that would have reliable medicine. And part of that was because you have the hemp, cannabis grown for fiber and cannabis grown for medicine, and that distinction wasn't really fully understood by everybody back then. I'm sure certain people understood it, but yeah, the Cannabis Americana was an attempt to make a consistent, reliable strain of cannabis that pharmaceutical companies could sell.
Is there any remnants of those genetics?
That's a great question. and I think they're probably the only ones that, and maybe Mexico. Like, I, in my mind, I feel like the, I don't know where they were doing.
I wonder if
their
that
trials.
Became G13.
I know. I was my first thought.
Right.
Yeah.
It
was that?
Yeah. I never thought that before you asked that question, but
we've been passing these around since the 1800s.
Yeah.
So maybe,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. This is the right. Medicinal.
We don't want to admit we've kept them.
Right.
Window of time, or we might not have.
Yeah.
Up to it.
Yeah.
So it's you need more information
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Being a grower.
Sort of. Shape. Yeah. Yeah.
What is semen
cannabis? Semen is seed. It was such the common name for seed that we have dozens of bottles that say semen on them. You know, some words go out of fashion.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about fiber hemp and how it's grown and processed. The culture of fiber hemp, they plant it very, they seed it very densely, and they want it to grow, the plants to grow very close together, so they'll grow tall and straight and have as few branches as possible. The more any kind of branching on the hemp stalk will weaken the fiber. So you want long, straight stalks. So once the hemp stalks are grown and harvested, they cut them down and they, in pre-industrial times, they would put them into shucks or bundles and then let them dry. And then after they were dried, they would use a process called redding that is synonymous with rotting. Redding is basically, it's using biological activity, microorganisms, to break down the glues, the lignins, and the pectins that hold the fiber bundles together. And so the redding was accomplished by either submerging the bundles of hemp under water and weighing them down with rocks, or they would.
That's the redding.
They would also use a process called dew redding, where they would lay the bundles of hemp on the ground. And then they would turn them every few days. And what this would accomplish, it would help break down, like I said, the lignin and the pectins that hold the fiber bundles together and make it easier to process.
Yo, wake the farm up. Yo, wake the farm up.
It's been a great journey of self-awakening. Now you've simply got to ask yourself. From after the fiber's been, I can also show you, this is a bundle of redded fiber, and you can see that this is dew-redded fiber. And you can tell because it's dark and has that blackish color, where if this had been water-redded, it would be more that similar to the natural color of the hemp after it was harvested. And I think part of the difference is with the dew redding, you have aerobic microorganisms, and with the water redding, you have anaerobic organisms breaking down, breaking stuff down. So it's a more limited population with the water redding.
Right. Preferred.
It's a superior fiber, and also there's distinctions with like cloth fiber and rope fiber. If you're just growing for like sailcloth and rope, you can use older, more mature hemp. But if you wanted something for a fine linen, you would pick your crop when it was young and when the stalks were fine and more on par with linen.
Mm-hmm.
They hit at the World Fair.
Hashish.
Okay. My great grandfather went to the Chicago World Fair in 1898.
Uh-huh.
Wonder if he went to a hash tent.
Right.
So, I'm a bundle of redded, dew redded fiber hemp. And this is a Kentucky hemp break. It was a tool used to break the stalks of the hemp plant in preparation for, it's the first step of the processing. See, these little bits of woody material are called herds, and they're the inner stalk. And redding really helps facilitate the separation of the fiber and the herds. Like if this were unredded, they would be sticking to the fiber a lot more than they are. So this process that I'm doing now is called scutching. Normally they would have a scutching board and a scutching knife or a scutching hammer. And scutching it removes the herd from the fiber. And ideally you would remove all the fiber or all the herds before you went on to the next step. But this is, it's called hackling, and the hackle is basically a comb, and it helps to separate the fiber bundles. So it's breaking down the ribbons of fiber into individual.
It's like a horse tail now,
right?
That dark tone fiber.
Once you have a fully processed, kind of cheat and jump to the fully processed hemp. This is a machine processed European hemp fiber that I'm going to use to demonstrate spinning. And so this is how our ancestors would have made thread out of hemp and linen fibers. I'm using a drop spindle. And then what I'm doing with my fingers, it's called drafting the fiber. This is how our ancestors made thread. 1 yard at a time. Whoops. And that's the drop.
For wool, but it's all similar processes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like,
it's not perfect, it doesn't matter because you got a bunch of.
Like, just feel these fibers. It's so strong.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. And it's like this. Super cuddly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Teddy bear.
Yeah, right. No, it gets softer and softer over time. And, you know, he's been working with it so much that it's like, he's got all these different little bits and pieces of it all over the place.
It's like as smooth as like a silk or, you know, something extraordinary.
Yeah. Isaac Wegman.
Different processes. Okay, this cool. Is just so Isaac was saying that the water redded hemp is lighter in color,
Brad?
So some of that lighter color.
Okay, yeah, it's been years, I guess.
The cool thing about the hemp community is it's a big, wide world, but sometimes it gets smaller when you get to stay and play with your friends and family. And this is a good friend of ours, Next Seven Farm Hemp. It's Isaac Wegman. And we've worked with him getting plants and help start processing. And, it's just an example of some fresh hemp flower, you know, they got here at the museum. And, it's like we're trying to get ourselves out there and put ourselves in the loop. So, you know, you and your bro got some situation, get your bro broke. Say it's okay. You know, it's okay.